In today's lesson, I'm going to use several Bible verses of Scripture in order to get the point across. I'll start in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. It reads like this, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love." And now I'm going to read some words from our Master in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear has torment. Today I'm speaking on the fear of rejection, fear of disapproval. This longing for approval is so strong that we spend our lives chasing it, often sacrificing our values and our priorities in an attempt to secure it. As teenagers, we encounter peer pressure. As young adults, many of us dealt with people pleasing. In every age group, there are people who live in self-imposed slavery to others and their opinions. The Bible has a name for this need for approval: the fear of man. In the Bible, the word fear means more than fright. It's any kind of reverence that causes us to subject ourselves to something or someone else. Fear, in the biblical sense, includes being afraid of someone, but it extends to holding someone in awe or mastered by people, putting your trust in people or needing people. However you put it, the fear of man can be summarized this way: we replace God with people. Instead of a biblical guided fear of the Lord, we fear others. Once we began chasing approval, we never stopped running. It's servitude to 1,000 masters instead of one to please. You think fear of God is bad? It's nothing compared to the alternative. Fear of man is a cruel tyranny. It's exhausting and it's complicated. King Solomon summed it up in this Proverbs: "The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Therein lies the danger and deceitfulness of fear, the fear of disapproval, or the fear of man. It becomes a snare. A snare is a trap set to capture animals. In this case, it is a metaphor for trapping human beings in some moral or spiritual compromise. An animal snare is camouflaged and baited with morsels of food to entice the creature. A moral snare works in the same way. It's not plainly obvious at first, but it is baited with something we humans long for, which is what makes it so effective. If the bait is an overpowering desire for approval, then we are drawn into the trap by doing whatever it takes to gain approval. And that often means sacrificing our values or priorities or giving up moral or spiritual ground. Fear of the people is a great snare, yet many are foolish enough to continue doing it even to this day, just as people did in the Bible times. because King Saul shifted his fear from God to man, he lost the throne. In the first century, some followers of Christ stifled their expression of faith because they feared the men of the synagogue. The story of Peter disowning Jesus 3 times is one of the best known in the Bible. We often think of Peter as an impulsive, faithless, or excitable. But the root of his weakness, it appears to me, was fear. That's the case with many of us. Peter feared disapproval so greatly that he let it come between him and Jesus, whom he loved, and in the moment of all moments, when he might have stood up for the Master, he denied that he even knew him. Not only did he deny Christ, he and his friends went and locked themselves in an upper room because they were afraid of the Jews. But then, you fast forward a few weeks to the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the multitudes gathered around them, were sneering, mocking, calling them drunk. Peter had no fear. Peter boldly stood up, as well as the other apostles. These were the same men that ran when he was arrested. They ran and hid themselves in fear. But now, a few weeks later, they all stood, and Peter says to the mocking and jeering crowd who were accusing them of drunkenness, Peter stood boldly and announced that these men were not drunk, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And you men of Israel, hear these words. These words he was speaking was to the people that a few weeks earlier he was afraid of. 50 days later, these same disciples were risking their lives for Jesus. Something had obviously changed their mind and their lives. In reality, there were 2 factors involved: the resurrection of Christ from the dead and the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The resurrection demonstrated God's power, and Pentecost delivered God's power. Those 2 events transformed a fearful bunch of disciples into a forceful band of disciple makers who are responsible for the fact that you and I are here today. The early disciples, they believed that they were sent, that Christ was with them, and that the Holy Spirit was guiding and empowering them. And as a result, they also believed they would bear fruit. They looked for doors, closed doors, open doors. They believed that there was a purpose for every person they met. They took advantage of every opportunity. For example, when they were in jail in Philippi, they decided there must be a reason for it, a calling God had for them in that place. They were convinced that nothing was random, and they were right. God used their imprisonment to bring salvation to the Philippian jailer and his entire family. The book of Acts is filled with stories like this. The apostles believed that they had been placed where they were for a reason. We should follow their example. We should trust that our daily movements are divine appointments. We should be sensitive to every nuance of the Spirit, trust in Him to use us to expand His kingdom place by place. So I ask again, who are you afraid of? Paul's reply would have been, none of these things, None of these people move me. You remember when Peter was thrown in jail and the angel of the Lord rescued him. And when they found Peter, he was in the temple teaching the people. The scribes and the Pharisees said, "Go get him. Bring him here." And when they stood before the council of the Jews that they had been afraid of, they showed no fear. The council says, "Did we not command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Then Peter and the other apostles answered, "We ought to obey God rather than men. So who are you afraid of?" Your answer should be, "I'm afraid of no man, only God." I'm going to stop this lesson right here, but tomorrow I have one more lesson on fear, the fear of death.